Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul is shifting from the discussion regarding giving and the money that he was seeking to raise from the Corinthians to take back to Jerusalem. And now it's really back to a common theme in this letter, is that Paul was under attack by false teachers who were trying to put a dart into his credibility, trying to make themselves look as though they're the ones that people should follow, basically steal the hearts of the Corinthians and discredit Paul so that people would not believe in his message. And some of it even then began to be criticism within the body in Corinth, where people were sometimes questioning Paul or criticizing Paul. And, you know, I'm sure that had to be frustrating. Anytime you're, you know, managing or leading a flock, there's going to be people who are either upset about something or complain about something. Now, praise God, and, you know, so many are just such a blessing and encouraging and loyal. But, you know, it seems like the greasy wheel, you know, or the gets the grease, or however you put that, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? So sometimes the criticism or the challenges end up taking probably more precedent than what you would like. And Paul seems to be, you know, deflecting some of that throughout this letter. Ultimately, what we all need to know is that our trust needs to be in the Lord. One of my favorite passages comes from Jeremiah 17, and it says, "Blessed is not the man who trusts in man, but whose trust is in the Lord, and that he shall be like the tree that's roots are by the stream, that like never fails to bear fruit." And I'm paraphrasing, but ultimately, we have to know who our identity is in God. And, you know, if you placed your identity in man and what man thought of you, well, then anytime someone thought of you ill, you would be down on yourself, right? You would feel badly about yourself if others did about you. But if your foundation is in the Lord and your trust is in the Lord, you have to realize that mankind is fickle. Mankind is wishy-washy. So to put your foundation in man is an unstable foundation. I mean, you know, I've been blessed with one wife. We're going to be 29 years in a couple months. And, you know, praise God for that. I've had, you know, two sets of my parents and then my in-laws who have been married over 50 years, going on 60 years. And, you know, so I've been very blessed to have some stability in my life and some of the closest people around me. And what a blessing that is. But I've also been around long enough to, you know, see people come and go. I mean, it's part of the nature of church ministry. You know, praise God. I can think of a few people that are, when I say that, a few that are still with us from the very beginning when we started this church some 16 years ago, 15 years ago. No, 16 years ago, and praise God for that. But, you know, a lot have come and gone since, and that's just the nature of things. And, you know, and that's okay. You know, the way I try to perceive all that is that, you know what, bless people while they're in your midst, encourage them in the Lord, teach them the Word of God, teach them to obey God, and that's my job. It, you know, my job is not whether people come or go or whether stay or leave. I can't control that. I'm still here. Hallelujah. 16 years later, that's what I can control. I'm still here. What people do, that's up to them. I can't control that. So love them while they're there. Teach them the Word of God while they're there. And bless them coming in and bless them going. That's the way to go about it. And you'll see that how that applies here to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I, Paul myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. And he's saying that with an exclamation part. He's actually basically just proclaiming a criticism where some have said, oh, he writes these really firm letters, and he did write a really firm letter. It's called the Severe Letter that we don't have a copy of. But then they're saying, oh, he's very meek when we see him in person, but his letters come across real strong, or at least, so that's an accusation that's been made of him. I ask that when I am present, I need not to be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. And so some people were criticizing him as well, that he walked according to the flesh, and you know, he's purposing to come with confidence and courage. For though we walk in the flesh, and there's a, you know, there's a reality to that. Hey, Paul, you know, he had human bones and human skin, and in a sense, we all have a flesh. We all have physical bodies. But he said, though we walk in the flesh, meaning even though I have a flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Meaning when he comes to bring the word of God, he does not do it according to the flesh. He's in the spirit to bring the word of God to people, and he's not trying to war in fleshly ways, but rather in spiritual ways. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And he's basically saying, you know what, when I come and I bring the word of God empowered by the Holy Spirit, it can tear down and build up according to the power of God. And then it says this, and this has been a verse that I've put to memory. And, you know, it's a great verse. And I think it can be very broad in how we can use it to, you know, change the attitude of our minds. But listen to this. It says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And Paul's saying, listen, we do destroy everything that's not of God. And we recognize what's not of God. We recognize what's evil. We recognize when our brains are in the flesh, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. And man, the power of our thoughts, the power of how we think, and what Paul is saying is he's trying to, and he is, taking his thoughts and placing them on Christ. And if his thoughts were to go to the flesh in some way, that he takes those captive, doesn't continue to think about them in order to be obedient to Christ. And, you know, it's really important. Our thoughts lead to our actions. Our thoughts are powerful. Our thoughts shape how we live our lives. They shape our joy. They shape our peace. They shape our anxiety or lack of anxiety, our fear, our worry. You know, it's all in our thoughts, and our thoughts ultimately lead to actions. And what we really need to think about is, what are we thinking about? Those of you who have been a part of our church know I've said that many times. We have to think about what we're thinking about. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken the time to think about the way that you're thinking? And is your thinking full of faith? Is your thinking trusting God? Is your thinking forgiveness? Is your thinking love? Is your thinking in alignment with the Word of God? And if we're real, we will recognize that many times we are allowing our thoughts in our minds to be of the flesh, and as a result, it doesn't produce a good result. And what we really need to do is we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And when we do that, when our thoughts are in alignment with God, His Word, His Spirit, instead of on worry, fear, anxiety, bitterness, unforgiveness, you know, if our mind is occupied with that, we could be a Christian, but we could really not be in alignment with God, and our hearts could be sick because of what we're thinking about. And if we can change and take captive the fleshly thoughts and instead think in beauty, in love, in peace, in trust, in forgiveness, in faith, and that's the way that our mind operates, you know, then we're really going to have peace, and we're going to really be men and women of God. So that's really important, to take thoughts captive and make your mind obedient to Christ. And we are ready to punish, verse 6, all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. And I think he's referring to, you know, false teaching and, you know, just calling out what needs to be called out. I mean, in order to get our lives right with God, we do need to call what sin sin. We need to call what's evil evil. And we need to then say, you know what, I'm going to tear down all this stuff and I'm going to place my mind on the fruit of the Spirit. And that's a beautiful thing to do. Verse 7, you are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is in Christ, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is in Christ, so also are we. He's just making a claim, you know, he's in Christ. I mean, they, you know, trust me, Paul's basically saying, I am in Christ. I'm a man of God. I'm seeking to live for Christ. For even if I boast somewhat further about our authority, you know, and he was given the authority of being an apostle, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be put to shame. For I do not wish to seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. And he's getting back to that criticism he received again. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. And, you know, I'm sure the Apostle Paul could hold his own in preaching and teaching. But you know what? When you have an enemy or when you have someone's against you, they're just trying to criticize you. They're just trying to tear you down. And I'm sure those words, you know, Paul heard, and he's trying to overcome those and just basically say, this is what people are saying about me. But I'm sure it wasn't the predominant thought in Corinth. But people who wanted to tear him down, listen, when you have an enemy, they're not going to be fair and reasonable to you. They're not going to be objective. You know, enemies, what they do is they just seek to destroy and they seek to tear down. That's just the way it is. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when absent, such persons we are also indeed when present. And that's really important. You know, that's a word for all of us. You know what? Be the person that God has made you to be wherever you are. There shouldn't be a bunch of different versions of who you are. You know, you shouldn't have the church version on Sunday or the Bible study version and then the version that, I don't know, does and goes and does a bunch of other things. Like, we should really be a man of God, a woman of God, wherever we are. Now, there are, you know, situations where the context is different, right? I mean, so yes, you have, how do I put it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking for my wife as a school teacher, she can't go in and just talk about Jesus all day at school. She's got to put on that hat. But yet her actions, her attitude, her witness, even though it may not be through sharing the gospel, still needs to be that of a woman of God. Her character shouldn't change, although she's got to be a little different in that setting than she would be with me, or she would be at church or in a Bible study. So there's some truth to that. We have different environments that we live in, but we shouldn't be a man of God in one environment and then not a man of God in another. We should be consistent in who we are in Christ. And, you know, that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Hey, the things I write to you, that's who we are and when we're present as well. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us, as a measure to reach even as far as you. And Paul is talking about the sphere of ministry that he feels he's been called to preach the gospel to Gentiles and That's the sphere that he is in. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you. For we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ. He helped bring the gospel to Corinth, not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere enlarged even more by you. And he's hoping that, you know, as he preached in his sphere in Corinth and other regions, that eventually his sphere would expand and he'd be able to take the gospel to more areas. So as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished by the sphere of another. Paul brought that up at times, that, you know, he preached where God called him to preach, and he wasn't trying to build on, you know, someone else's ministry, but rather he was a pioneer. You know, I think the Apostle Paul was a pioneer, and I think he thrived in, you know, going to new areas to take the gospel. That was a real, you know, priority for him, and praise God that he had that call to bring the gospel to places where it hadn't been heard. And, you know, we need people like that. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that it is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. And I think, you know, that's something that I really talked about earlier, is that we got to trust our identity in the Lord. And as you're going through life, you know, there's going to be people who like you, people who don't like you, people, you know, that encourage you, people who will tear you down. You know, you're going to have that, whether you're a pastor or whether you're just a person. You're going to deal with, sometimes people love you and sometimes people won't. And what you have to do is you have to say, how are my actions lining up with Christ? How, and I want the Lord to guide me. So, you know, let's say, you know, something isn't going well, or maybe someone's criticizing you, take it to the Lord and find out what the Lord has to say. Like, evaluate your actions and attitudes and say, you know what? What does the Lord think of what I'm doing? Because ultimately, that's what counts. Man thinks and man does what man's going to do. But take your, and if the Lord, when you go to him, if the Lord says, you know what? This is where you need to ask forgiveness, or this is where you need to change, then have the Lord change you. But sometimes, you know, man's going to have something for you that's not of God. And somebody might want to, you know, there's a lot of people, like even in the world, right? As I preach about topics that, you know, whether I believe marriage should be one man or one woman, or whether I think we should be pro-life, or whether, you know, I think people changing their gender is not of God, and I'm preaching what the Bible has to say. And, you know, I get criticized all the time. I mean, people will, you know, yeah, it happens all the time. But you know what? I don't, like, I have to take that to the Lord and then say, well, what does the Lord have to say? And then when you know you're in the truth, and when you know you're in the Lord, you don't worry. What can man do to me, right? You know, I'm talking scripture there. What can man do to me? Trust in the Lord. So anyways, take everything to the Lord. And where you need to change, have God change you. Where you need to have the confidence in God that you're doing right, then have the confidence in God that you're doing right, and stick with the Lord no matter what anyone says about you. You know what? The Apostle Paul was a pioneer. The Apostle Paul did a lot of ministry, and the Apostle Paul faced a ton of criticism and persecution. And you know what? Maybe I need to be reminded of that as well. That's just going to be a lot in life at times, that's going to happen. But may your peace, may your identity, may your trust be in the Lord. And we can learn much from the Apostle Paul. So, hey, God bless you all. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again in 2 Corinthians chapter 11.